People who built AI safety into their job descriptions are walking out the door. One was fired for saying no. The other quit, saying the world is in peril. And they worked at the two companies that were supposed to care the most. Welcome to AI Pulse for Sunday, February 15th, 2026. I'm Kate, your host.
And I'm Marcus, your analyst.
We've got a packed show today. China just dropped four major AI models in a single week, and one of them was built without a single American chip. Cloud Cowork hits Windows, and $285 billion in SaaS stock value just evaporated. The safety teams at OpenAI and Anthropic are losing key people under very different but equally alarming circumstances. 30,000 tech workers have been laid off in 6 weeks, and 80% of those cuts are in tech roles specifically. And Samsung is about to put agent AI in a billion pockets. Let's get into it. So Marcus, all week we've been covering individual stories out of China, Seedance 2.0 and the Hollywood deepfake firestorm, GLM5 and the Huawei chip story. But when you step back and look at what happened in the span of just 7 days, it's staggering.
It really is. Four major AI releases from four different Chinese companies in 1 week. ByteDance with Seedance 2.0 for video. Kuaishou with Kling 3.0, also video. Jipu AI with GLM5 for language. And Alibaba's Damo Academy with something called RinBrain for robotics. Each one individually would be a headline. Together, they're a statement.
We covered Seedance 2.0 and GLM5 in detail over the past couple of days. So let's focus on what's new. Kling 3.0. What does Kuaishou bring to the table?
So Kuaishou is basically ByteDance's biggest domestic rival in short-form video. Think of them as China's other TikTok. Their Kling 3.0 model generates photorealistic 15-second video clips with native audio generation in multiple languages. It's a different flavor from Seedance. Where Seedance 2.0 goes for that cinematic, Hollywood-grade look, Kling 3.0 is optimized more for the kind of content that goes viral on social platforms. Shorter, punchier, with built-in sound.
So now, there are two Chinese companies producing near-photorealistic AI video. That's got to worry the Soras and the Vios of the world.
It should. And here's the thing. Both models are being offered at prices that dramatically undercut Western alternatives. This is the DeepSeek playbook applied to video generation. Build something comparable or better, then price it so low that competitors can't match you without bleeding money.
And then there's the robotics side. RinBrain from Alibaba. I hadn't heard of this one until this morning.
RinBrain is fascinating. It's an open-source robotics foundation model from Alibaba's Damo Academy, and it just set records across 16 embodied AI benchmarks. It beat Google's Gemini Robotics. It beat NVIDIA's Cosmos Reason 2. These are the models that are supposed to teach robots how to understand and interact with the physical world.
Wait, Alibaba is beating Google and NVIDIA at robotics AI?
On the benchmarks, yes. Now, benchmarks aren't everything, and we're still in the early innings of physical AI. But the signal is clear. China isn't just competitive in language and video. They're pushing hard into the robotics layer, too. And like GLM5, RinBrain is fully open source. They're giving it away.
Which brings us to the big strategic picture. We talked about GLM5 on Friday, the 745 billion parameter model trained entirely on Huawei Ascend chips. No NVIDIA hardware, no American technology, and it's competitive with the best Western models.
Right. And when you zoom out and look at the full week, four major models, video, language, and robotics, all from different Chinese companies, all either open source or extremely low cost. And one of them, built entirely outside the American chip supply chain. You have to ask, what the U.S. export controls actually accomplished.
Were they supposed to slow China down? Because this doesn't look slow.
The export controls were designed to create a capability gap by restricting access to the most advanced chips. And for a while, they probably did create some friction. But what we're seeing now is that Chinese companies adapted. They optimized their training methods, they built on domestic hardware, and they adopted an open-source strategy that sidesteps the whole question of proprietary advantage. The result is that the gap between Chinese and American AI capabilities has narrowed significantly, and in some areas, it may have closed entirely.
Marcus, is it fair to call this a coordinated effort, or are these companies just independently competing?
I think the truth is somewhere in between. These are genuine commercial competitors. ByteDance and Kuaishou are rivals. Zhipu and Alibaba are different entities with different backers. But the Chinese government has been very clear about making AI a national priority. And the policy environment, funding, compute access, data availability, all of that creates conditions where multiple companies can sprint simultaneously. Whether you call it coordination or ecosystem, the outcome is the same. A wave of competitive AI capabilities arriving all at once.
Let's pivot to a story that hit the software industry like a freight train. Claude Cowork, Anthropic's AI agent product, just launched on Windows. And Marcus, the market's reaction was brutal.
$285 billion in market value wiped out from software stocks. Thomson Reuters down 16%. LegalZoom down 20%. Salesforce and ServiceNow each down 7%. And that's not from anything going wrong. That's from investors looking at what Claude Cowork can do and repricing entire companies accordingly.
So for people who haven't been following this, what exactly does Claude Cowork do that spooked the market this badly?
Claude Cowork is essentially an AI agent that sits on your desktop and can access your files, execute multi-step tasks, and plug into your existing software through these things called MCP connectors. Anthropic released 11 open-source plugins back on January 30th, covering legal work, finance, sales, marketing, data analysis, and software development. The legal plugin in particular can reportedly automate 90% of standard NDA and compliance triage. That's work that companies like LegalZoom and parts of Thomson Reuters built entire businesses around.
And the Windows launch is what tipped this into a full-scale sell-off.
Exactly. Claude Cowork launched on Mac first, and that was notable but limited. Macs represent maybe 30% of enterprise desktops. Windows is the other 70%. So when Anthropic brought Cowork to Windows with full feature parity, the addressable market basically tripled overnight. Every enterprise running Windows, which is most of them, can now deploy these plugins.
This is the SaaSpocalypse that people have been warning about.
The term has stuck for a reason. What's happening is that Anthropic is bundling specialized capabilities into a general Claude subscription. If you're a vertical SaaS company that's spent a decade building, say, a legal document management tool and charging per seat for it, you're now competing against a feature that comes included with an AI assistant people are already paying for. Your moat just became a speed bump.
Does this mean all those SaaS companies are doomed?
Not all of them, and not immediately. Companies with deep integrations, proprietary data, and strong customer relationships have real advantages that a plugin can't replicate overnight. But the investor thesis has shifted. The market used to price these companies on the assumption that their specialized software was defensible. Now it's pricing in the possibility that AI agents can replicate 80 or 90% of what they do. That repricing is what the $285 billion represents. It's not a verdict on today's revenue. It's a bet on tomorrow's irrelevance.
That's a harsh way to put it.
It's a harsh market. But I'd also say this. The companies that figure out how to build on top of AI agents rather than compete against them, those are the ones that survive. The ones that insist their per-seat licensing model is the future, those are the ones in trouble.
All right, this next story genuinely unsettled me, and I think it should unsettle anyone who cares about whether AI development is being done responsibly. In the same week, both OpenAI and Anthropic lost key safety personnel. Marcus, walk us through what happened.
Let's start with OpenAI. Ryan Buyermeister was the VP of Product Policy. Her job, broadly, was to set the rules for what ChatGPT should and shouldn't do. She was reportedly opposed to OpenAI's planned adult mode, which would allow sexually explicit conversations in ChatGPT. OpenAI fired her. Their stated reason was sexual discrimination against a male colleague, which Buyermeister has categorically denied.
So, the person in charge of saying, maybe we shouldn't do this, got fired right before they did the thing she was saying they shouldn't do?
That's certainly how it looks from the outside. OpenAI's application CEO, Fidji Simo, has confirmed that adult mode is planned for the first quarter of this year. So we're talking weeks away. And the person who was supposed to be the internal check on that policy is now gone.
And over at Anthropic, the company that literally markets itself as the safety-first AI lab?
Mrinok Sharma, who led the safeguards research team, posted a public resignation letter that you really need to read to appreciate. He said, quote, "The world is in peril from a whole series of interconnected crises." He said employees, quote, "constantly face pressures to set aside what matters most." This is someone who worked on AI-assisted bioterrorism defenses, on sycophancy and AI models, on the risk of chatbots distorting people's grip on reality. And he left saying the situation is so dire that he needs to, quote, "become invisible and study poetry."
Marcus, that's an extraordinary thing for a safety researcher to say. Become invisible and study poetry is not a normal resignation letter.
No, it's not. And CNN ran an analysis with the headline, "AI researchers are sounding the alarm on their way out the door," which captures the pattern. This isn't an isolated incident. Over the past year, we've seen a steady stream of safety-focused researchers leaving both OpenAI and Anthropic. Some leave quietly, some leave loudly. But the direction is consistent. The people whose job is to worry about what can go wrong are increasingly deciding they can't do that job effectively from inside these companies.
Now, I want to be fair here. There could be perfectly mundane explanations. People leave jobs all the time. Corporate politics are messy.
That's true. And we should be careful not to read too much into any single departure. But when you see a pattern across both of the companies that have most publicly staked their reputations on responsible AI development, and when the departures consistently involve people in safety roles, and when some of them are saying things like, "the world is in peril on their way out," at some point, the pattern becomes the story.
What does it mean for the rest of us?
It means that the internal checks on AI development, the people inside these companies whose job is to pump the brakes when things move too fast, those checks are weakening. Whether that's because the commercial pressures are too strong, or because the safety concerns are overblown and the alarmists are self-selecting out, depends on your perspective. But either way, the safety bench is getting thinner at exactly the moment when AI capabilities are accelerating fastest.
Speaking of XAI, we covered the co-founder departures yesterday, but there are new developments. Marcus, two more co-founders left this week?
Tony Wu and Jimmy Ba both announced their departures on February 11th. That brings the total to 6 of the original 12 co-founders gone. And it's not just co-founders. At least 11 engineers publicly announced they were leaving in a single week. That's not normal churn. That's an exodus.
And Musk's response was to restructure?
He held an all-hands meeting and framed it as scaling, saying, quote, "because we've reached a certain scale, we're organizing the company to be more effective at this scale." XAI is now being split into 4 divisions: the Grok chatbot and voice, coding, a video product called Imagine, and I kid you not, a division called MacroHard.
MacroHard?
MacroHard. Described as an AI software company run by digital agents. It's an obvious jab at Microsoft. But the naming choice aside, the concept is interesting. Musk seems to be positioning XAI to compete directly in enterprise AI software, using autonomous agents as the workforce.
Interesting concept, but you need people to build the agents, and a lot of your people just left.
That's the fundamental problem. You can reorganize the org chart all you want, but when half your founding team and a dozen engineers leave in weeks, you've lost institutional knowledge and technical capability that takes years to rebuild. Add in the Grok CSAM controversy from January, the regulatory probes from the EU, India, and Malaysia, and the fact that the SpaceX merger may have been partly a financial lifeline for xAI's debt, and you've got a company under significant stress on multiple fronts.
Let's talk about the job market, because there are some new numbers this week that paint a sobering picture. We covered Matt Schumer's viral essay about AI and jobs on Saturday, but now we've got hard data to go with it.
30,700 tech jobs cut globally in the first 6 weeks of 2026. And here's the number that should get your attention. 80% of those cuts were in technology-focused roles specifically. Not support staff, not admin, not facilities. Engineers, developers, technical project managers. The people who built the technology are being displaced by the technology.
Where are the biggest cuts coming from?
Amazon is the single largest contributor, eliminating 16,000 corporate positions in January alone. Meta has cut over 1,000 roles from Reality Labs, redirecting those resources toward AI. And Oracle is reportedly considering cutting up to 30,000 jobs to fund its AI data center push. The United States accounts for 24,600 of the total losses.
If the current pace continues, what are we looking at for the full year?
At this rate, 2026 tech layoffs could reach 273,000. That would surpass the roughly 245,000 recorded in all of 2025. And remember, these are just the public announced layoffs. As we discussed with the Schumer essay, the invisible displacement through unfilled positions and shrinking teams could be much larger.
There's something deeply ironic about the tech industry being among the first industries restructured by AI.
It's not ironic, it's logical. Tech workers are expensive. Their work is largely digital, which means it's trainable. And the companies doing the cutting have the most sophisticated understanding of what AI can and can't do. They're not guessing about whether AI can replace a mid-level engineer's output. They've measured it, and the measurement is telling them they can do more with fewer people.
How does this connect to the SaaSpocalypse story we just covered?
They're two sides of the same coin. The layoffs are the labor market telling you that AI is replacing human effort. The stock sell-off is the capital market telling you that AI is replacing entire business models. When you add those signals together, you get a picture of a technology that isn't just boosting productivity at the margins. It's restructuring how work gets done and who gets paid for it. And that restructuring is happening faster than anyone's retraining programs or policy responses can keep up with.
Let's end on something a little more forward-looking. Samsung is holding its Galaxy Unpacked event on February 25th, and the buzzword is agentic AI. Marcus, what are they promising?
Samsung is teasing the Galaxy S26 series as, quote, the next AI phone, with intelligence that's truly personal and adaptive. They projected 3D video billboards on 17 global landmarks to build hype. London, Los Angeles, Seoul, Tokyo.
But what does agentic AI actually mean on a phone?
So, Samsung has been doing AI features on phones for a couple of generations now. Photo editing, translation, summarization, pretty standard stuff. The agentic framing suggests a leap to something more substantial. Instead of AI features you invoke one at a time, you'd have an on-device AI agent that can take multi-step actions on your behalf. Book a restaurant, reschedule meetings, handle a string of related tasks without you having to supervise each step.
We've heard promises like that before. Siri was supposed to change the world 12 years ago.
Fair point. And I'd apply healthy skepticism here too. The gap between the demo and the daily reality of using voice assistants has been enormous. but there are two things that are different now. First, the underlying models are dramatically more capable than anything Siri was built on. Second, the competitive pressure is intense. Apple is still playing catch-up on AI. Google has Gemini baked into Pixels. Samsung needs a strong AI story to differentiate against both of them.
Samsung is the world's largest smartphone maker. If they get this right, agentic AI goes from something tech enthusiasts talk about to something that's in a billion pockets.
Exactly. And that's why February 25th matters beyond just a product launch. It's a test of whether agentic AI is ready for mainstream consumers. Not developers, not enterprise power users, but regular people who just want their phone to do more without them having to think about it. If Samsung delivers, it changes the conversation about AI from something that happens in the cloud to something that lives with you everywhere you go.
All right, Marcus, big picture time. Sunday, end of the week. What's the thread?
The thread this week is fracture. China's AI ecosystem is fracturing away from Western supply chains and proving it can thrive independently. The SaaS market is fracturing as AI agents undermine business models that took decades to build. Safety teams are fracturing at the two companies that were supposed to be the adults in the room. And the labor market is fracturing as 30,000 tech workers get shown the door in 6 weeks.
That's a lot of things breaking at once.
It is. But here's the thing about fractures. They can be destructive, but they can also be creative. New structures emerge from the breaks. The question is whether we're managing the transition or just watching it happen. And right now, based on everything we covered this week, we're mostly watching.
The safety researchers are quitting. The SaaS stocks are cratering. The jobs are disappearing. And the models keep getting better and cheaper and faster. The gap between what AI can do and what we've prepared for is getting wider.
And the people whose job was to narrow that gap, at least some of them, are writing poetry now.
On that note, let's hope next week brings some answers alongside the announcements.
I wouldn't hold my breath, Kate, but I'll be here either way.
That's your AI Pulse for Sunday, February 15th, 2026. We'll see you tomorrow.